Who would want to do anything else on a Friday night? I mean, except worshiping God. Amen. Which is what I'm going to talk about this evening. So I'm excited. Shake someone next to you and say, tonight is your night. Tonight we are going somewhere. Okay. I trust that you will be excited because this word that the Lord gave me, I'm ready. Can't wait to share it. I'm actually going to share a little bit of a series. So the next 3 weeks, this week and the following two Sundays, I'll be sharing on this topic. So bring friends next Sunday as well. I've titled the sermon tonight, True Worship. You know, I don't know if you guys followed the Olympics or the Paralympics recently. I mean, the Paralympics is still on. I think it's finishing tonight or when? Whenever. Probably finishing quite soon. But it's quite inspiring, isn't it, to see these people, you know, doing these things, especially the Paralympics. I think the Paralympics is sort of more inspiring in a way than the Olympics. So these people with disabilities that are just going full out for what they can and what the body that they've had to sort of live with and still doing amazing things. Isn't it awesome to watch? But one thing that does strike me and one thing that I can still stand amazed at is, you know, these people standing on the podiums getting their medals and just how much they are being worshipped in a way. And many, you know, many idols like, you know, for instance, Mo Farah, this amazing long-distance runner for the UK. Now, there was such an expectation on him and people were... When he stood on that podium that last night of the Olympics, it was just, I felt so sorry for this guy when I was looking at him standing there and I thought, you know, he's like being worshipped now by so many Brits, so many people around a small and huge nation. It's a small nation geographically, but so many people worshipping this guy just because he needs to get a gold medal for them. But you know, he's standing on this podium and this whole crowd there is just adoring him and worshipping him. And I just thought to myself, you know, people are not supposed to be worshipped, you know. It's like this guy, I actually seriously felt sorry for him because as human beings, we are not supposed to be worshipped. And if you look at these sporting heroes, and not only sporting heroes, but heroes throughout the world and throughout media and throughout just business and everywhere, these people are being worshipped because they've done such great things and yes, they've achieved and yes, they're great in what they do. But you know, people are not supposed to be worshipped. And if you look at Michael Jackson, you look at all these pop stars, they cannot actually take that worship. They cannot take being worshipped. Why? Because they're not made. People are not made to be worshipped. But what are we made to do? We are made to worship. So it's amazing to see how people are idolized. They're put on a pedestal. But you know, the truth is that people have not been created. They don't know how to take this. They don't know how to take all this fame and fortune. It's just so difficult. I'm sure. I don't know how it must be. But you can see it in their faces. They just... Some of them enjoy it, but you know, deep inside, it must be so challenging to be this hero, to be this amazing idol that people worship. But you see, we have been created not to be worshipped, but to worship. God has placed in us an inherent ability to reach out to Him and to worship Him. But Romans talks about mankind worshipping the creature rather than the creator, worshipping the creation rather than the creator. And in us, there's an inherent desire to worship. And some people just don't know how to worship or who to worship. So I want to ask a couple of questions now. I want to say to you, first of all, when I mention this word worship, now it's so interesting, when I put up this title of the sermon, I always wonder, what do people think? So I want to ask you tonight, what are you thinking or what comes to mind when I mention the word worship? What comes to your mind? And then I want to ask you another one. Would you say that you are a worshiper? And if you think you are a worshipper, if you really believe you are a worshipper, why are you a worshipper? A couple of challenging questions, okay? Just to get us thinking a bit. And then a last one. Is there such a thing as false worship? If I put up the name there, true worship, does that mean that there is something called false worship? I'll never forget once, Fred, our senior pastor in Stellenbosch, he preached some sermon. I don't know if it was about worship or not, but he was like trying to encourage people like to lift up their hands now in worship. So I almost like think, I mean, it's not really the truth, but it's like, is this now false worship when you put your hand like halfway up? Or is that 75 worship? And is this true worship, you know? Or is this false worship? Or, you know, how? But I mean, it was like so funny. It was like trying to say, you know, just why do some people like, are they scared to put up their hands? You know, it's like, ooh, I'm not, you know, I don't want anyone to see me lifting up my hands. I'll just put them up here. Or I'll just... worship God like this, you know. But I mean, is there such a thing as false worship? And Is it to do with your hands? Is it to do with how you jump around? What is it? And tonight I just want to read to us from John chapter 4. John chapter 4. I'm going to focus. This is now the story about the woman at the well. Who knows the story? Anyone read the story about the woman at the well, the Samaritan woman that met Jesus? Anyone know your Bible? Any believers out there? Okay. Are you joking? You'll agree with me at the end. Okay, but I'm obviously we know the story. Jesus, at the start of chapter 4, John writes about Jesus having to pass through Samaria. He was on his way to Galilee. He was on a mission and he had a specific purpose to fulfill there. But the word says that he had to pass through Samaria. He needed to pass through Samaria. And obviously Jesus knew that he would meet this very significant woman that would make quite a difference. So Jesus understood divine appointments. He understood the heart of the Father. He walked absolutely in tune with the Father. And this is obviously a passage of scripture that is often used in terms of evangelism and how to trust God to connect with people and all that. But I'm not going to focus on that tonight. But just to give you a bit of a background. And Jesus obviously starts a conversation with her. And she's obviously so amazed that this Jewish man would come to speak to her and connect with her and ask her, you know, does she want a drink or can she give him a drink because he's thirsty? So he starts to connect with her and she's pretty amazed because obviously Jewish people and Samaritan people did not mix. The Jewish people did not really connect with half-breeds like they called the Samaritans, which they obviously were according to the Jews. And so then he starts to show that the story continues. Jesus shows her need of eternal life and obviously has a word of knowledge for her and says to her, listen, yeah, you know, well, he actually asks her the question and says, bring your husband. And she says, well, no, I haven't got a husband. She says, yeah, I know that. You've had five husbands and the one that you're with is not actually your husband. So she's, you know, he challenges her and has a word of knowledge about her past and obviously her current relationship status. So this woman's pretty amazed. Okay. So she's very challenged. And yeah, from verse 19, she tries to change the subject. Okay. She always, if you look at the story and you read it, she's trying to avoid Jesus' direct input into her life. And obviously it's totally in love. I mean, you can just see Jesus talking to this woman and it's just he just really wants to connect with her. He doesn't like say, you know, you're a sinner, you're going to hell. He just tries to build conversation with her and says, listen, yeah, there's a big need in your life. But anyway, she keeps trying to change the subject like many of us do. Okay, when we get challenged on things in our lives, we sort of try to avoid them, don't we? We try to just, let's talk about something else here. This is too close to home sometimes. Okay, so Jesus here challenges her, and then she changes the subject. So let's pick up the story here from verse 19, John chapter 4. The woman said to him, sir, I perceive that you're a prophet. Sort of trying to tell him, hey, you know, you're actually quite cool. You're saying the right things here, but you know, you must be a prophet. Then she sort of says, but our fathers, so she changes the subject totally because he's talking about her life and the fact that she's actually in adultery at the moment. She's not married to the person she's with and everything. And so she just decides, let's talk about this major issue between the Jews and the Samaritans. Or this thing of contention about worship. So she says, our fathers worshipped on this mountain. And you Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship. Jesus said to a woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship what you do not know. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour is coming, and now is, when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father is seeking such to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and in truth. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. You see, it's amazing. When we read this passage, we sort of love to focus on this verse 24 here, which says that it's all about worshiping in spirit and in truth. But we don't really understand the context. Would you agree? I trust that tonight you'll see something a little bit different from this passage from what you've seen before. But you see, the question is, what is the context here? What is the context in terms of talking about the spirit and truth that we sometimes focus on? So tonight, I believe that there are certain keys in this passage that will help us to understand what true worship is. Okay. And I don't know about you, but sometimes the best way to figure something out is to do a bit of trial and error. Wouldn't you agree? Okay, to sort of first look at what is this thing not, to sort of find out what it is. Would you agree with me? Some things in life just work like that. You need to first find out what something isn't to really discover what it is. Okay, we don't always get the truth the first time. Anyone agree with me? Okay, so tonight we're going to do that. We're going to first look at what this thing of true worship is not, and then we're going to discover an amazing revelation at the end. So are you excited? Are you intentional now? I'm sure you're asking this question. What is it? I just want this final answer, okay? But first, we're going to look at what it is not. Okay, so you can write down a few. There's just 4 points. So those of you who are nice notebook people or you like to take notes, then you can write point A. Right, point A. Chapter 9, or verse 19. So we're going to go back to the start of the scripture. The woman said to him, "Sir, I perceive that you are a prophet." So she says, "Our fathers worshipped on this mountain. You Jews say that in Jerusalem is the place where one ought to worship." Jesus said to a woman, "Believe me, the hour is coming when you will neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem worship the Father." What is Jesus trying to explain to you? See, Jesus is not caught by surprise by the fact that she just wants to avoid the subject. Jesus knew what her greatest need was. Jesus knew how to minister to this woman, what really was in her heart. So he was so excited when she started to change the subject to worship, because he just knew, hey, yes, she's in adultery. Yes, she's got a bit of sin in her life. But you know what? I want to get at her heart. And that is exactly, she's playing absolutely into Jesus' court here. And she brings up the subject of where to worship, which was an amazing debate in those times, because the Samaritan said, but no, this mountain, yeah, this is now the place. But the Jews say, no, Jerusalem, that's the temple. That is the place to worship. You see, the Samaritans, they built a temple and they worshipped on a mountain called Gerizim, which was actually very close to where they were. She could actually point to the mountain and say, Jesus, but there, that mountain, that is where the Samaritan, that is where our fathers worshipped there. That is the place to worship, Jesus. But I hear that the Jews say, but Jerusalem is the place to worship. What is going on here, Jesus? But you see, the Samaritans, of which this woman was one, they followed the patriarchs. They followed their fathers, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, who at a time worshipped in that area. And so later on, the Samaritans thought, oh, great, our fathers worshipped there, so this must be the place to worship, because our forefathers, the patriarchs, the great men of faith, they worshipped there, so this must be the place to worship. But you see, the Samaritans missed the point, because guess what? God had moved on. And if you understand church history, the Samaritans didn't. They had the Pentateuch. They had the first 5 books of the Bible. But they didn't agree with the prophets. They didn't believe that the prophets were part of the written word of God. So they ignored the prophets. They only had the 5 books of the Bible. And so they understood that this place of worship was still where the forefathers worshipped. But guess what? Jesus, or God, moved on. And he said to David, no, listen here. You've got to build a temple. That is the real place to worship. You must bring the ark back to Jerusalem, and that is the central place of worship. But the Samaritans still believed that, no, on that mountain where our forefathers worshipped, that is where we must worship. And isn't it amazing for us sometimes? We're so following in our traditions of the forefathers said it, so this is what must happen. Isn't that amazing? Our tradition just keeps us bound to what was done years and years ago. But guess what? God is moving on. God sometimes moves on. And obviously, truth doesn't change. But you see, Jesus was trying to get at something here. And you see, God told the Jews, no, this is the place to worship, in Jerusalem. So Jerusalem was actually the correct place to worship at the time. I'm saying it in inverted commas, the correct place. Because guess what? Jesus was about to say, listen here, God is actually moving on again here. He's not only moving on from Mount Gerizim to Jerusalem, he's moving on from Jerusalem to another place of worship. Very interesting. So Jesus is trying to say, listen, you better be ready, because God is ready to do a move again. We'll see that a bit later. But you see, Jesus is trying to make the point to this woman. He says, yeah, listen, your worship should not revolve around a place. And how many times do we see worship as, ooh, it's about a place? This church building, for instance, or some event somewhere, some mimosa mall rooftop praise and worship. That is where we must worship. That is like the worship of the year, man. We're going to be there 4 times a year, and that's our worship for the year. The rest of the time, we'll just carry on with our lives. But so many times for us, worship is about a place. And Jesus says to this woman, he says, listen here, it's not about a place. It never has been about a place. Because even there where the forefathers worshipped, it wasn't about the place that they worshipped. It was about what was going on in their hearts. And the same with Jerusalem. Jesus didn't want, and God didn't want the ark to be placed in Jerusalem as a, this is now the place. Yes, there was a central place, but the focus was not on Jerusalem and the temple. The focus was on connecting with God. Are you with me this evening? So worship is not about a place. And we tend to make it about buildings. We tend to make it about church and about where we are specifically. And even Friday night's going to be an amazing time of worship. I know it. But you see, if it's about the event or about the place, then we're missing it. Are you with me this evening? So the first point that Jesus is trying to make in this passage of Scripture, and he tells this woman, it is not about the place. But we'll see now what it's about. The second point. He carries on and he says to this woman, listen here, you worship what you do not know. We know what we worship. We as the Jews, we understand what we worship. We know because we've been obedient to how God has moved. God has moved on and he's placed worship in the temple. He said that is the actual place to worship, and I'm a Jew. I'm not afraid of that because salvation has come from the Jews. Obviously talking about himself though, him being a Jew, and he's saying salvation has come from the Jews, but guess what? It's not going to stay a Jewish thing. Salvation is not going to only be for the Jews. It starts with the Jews. So in verse 22, Jesus starts to clarify the statement that he's made where he says, listen, you know, it's not going to be about Jerusalem. It's not going to be about that mountain any longer. Because you Samaritans do not understand. You've missed the point completely. And two things he says to them. He says, firstly, they were at the wrong place. Okay, that mountain is not the true place. If you really want to know where the true place is, you've missed it. It's actually at Jerusalem. Okay, that's where you should be worshiping. You've missed it there. And secondly, he says to them that, listen, yeah, you, and if you understand the Samaritans, they did not only worship God. They were very proud about where they were worshiping, but guess what? They were worshiping a lot of other idols as part of that. So they weren't only worshiping God, but they were very proud of the fact we're worshiping God on this mountain. We believe this is where the fathers worshiped and we're on the right track here. And Jesus says to this woman, you don't even know what you're worshiping because worship is supposed to be God alone. But you know what? You've got so many idols that you're worshiping with God that you've missed it a second time. It's not only the place, the physical place, but you've actually missed the fact that your worship is mixed up with other gods. And isn't it the same with us today? We've got to be honest with ourselves here. Many times, yes, we worship God. And as Cameron said, you know, money is a big thing. Because, yeah, we're worshiping money as well. We've got God there, but money's competing with God. Or other idols in our lives, sports idols, or even our own careers, or our own talents. We worship that as well as part of our worship to God. But you see, we've made it a ritual. We've made worship a ritual, just like these Samaritans and even the Jews, and we'll see now. Because Jesus doesn't say that the Jews are perfect. He says they're far from it. They've also missed it in a way. But he says to this woman, you have made worship a ritual, and you have missed it. You've missed the heart of it. But he does explain to this woman, he says, listen, yeah, you, the Jews understand. They have got the right place here. So if you want to ask this question, where's the right place to worship? You're wrong, okay? But he starts to build an argument here. He starts to show her that even the place or the ritual is not important. The point here is just as much as worship is not about a place, worship is not about rituals. And how many times don't we make worship a ritual in our lives? How many times do we make it a Sunday thing or in the morning a quiet time thing? It's something that you do. It becomes a ritual. I'll leave that at that. Third point. Jesus carries on here and he says, the hour is coming. And now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. You see, when there's a but in the Bible, you must know something's up. Okay, when there's this word but, it's like there's a change in focus. So turn to someone next to you and say, something's up here. Something's up. But the hour is coming, Jesus says. So guess what? He also knows that she knows this. And we'll see later on. The woman sort of agrees with him and says, I know something's up here. There's something coming. I know about it. But he also adds, and now is. The short little statement, and now is. The hour is not only coming, the hour has now come. Very interesting. But this, the woman doesn't get at all. We'll also see that later on. He doesn't get the fact that this hour is now happening. I mean, she doesn't get it, that the hour has just happened. She just thinks the hour is still coming. So Jesus says the hour is coming and now is when the true worshippers will worship the Father in spirit and in truth. So who is the Father seeking tonight? According to this scripture, who is the Father seeking? Anyone? Who is the Father seeking? True worshippers. What is a true worshipper? Or who, what are true worshippers? Those who worship in spirit and in truth. The answer's up there. Can you see it? The Father is seeking such. Who's He seeking? True worshippers. What are true worshippers? Those who worship in spirit and in truth. But we still don't understand it. You're not quite with me tonight. You see, true worship is not about, it's not a natural thing. It's not about emotions, feelings, a thing that we can work out in our minds. It's not about where our physical bodies are, whether we're half-masked or fully up or maybe up in the sky somewhere, worshipping from the balcony there. True worship is a supernatural thing. It's not a natural thing. It's a supernatural thing. Why? Because God is spirit. And I'm not saying at all that feelings and emotions aren't involved. Please, they must be involved. Okay, if you're really worshiping passionately, your emotions will be in it. But you see, guess what? Sometimes we make worship about feelings. Sometimes we'll say, okay, we'll worship when we feel like worshiping. We'll lift our hands when we feel like lifting up our hands. But worship is not about a feeling. Because why? It's a supernatural thing. God is spirit. The word says here. God is spirit. And those who worship Him must worship in spirit and in truth. So you see, you cannot trust your feelings. And especially if you are a young Christian. Especially if you're a newborn Christian. You cannot trust your feelings. And even us older Christians who've been walking with the Lord, I've been walking with the Lord for 20 years now, and that's not even old. Some people have been walking with the Lord for 100 years, okay? But even for us, we need to be very careful to trust our feelings. But guess what? When you get mature in the faith and you spend time in the Word, you know what? Your feelings start to become God's feelings. And then you can start to trust your instinct because you're walking closely with the Holy Spirit and you know this is what God is saying. But as a new Christian, I want to say tonight that we've got to be very careful about saying, I'll worship because I feel like worshiping. I'll come to a prayer meeting because I feel like it. I'll do stuff because I feel like it. It's not about a feeling. Worshiping is not about a feeling at all. Does anyone agree with me tonight? Because the Word here says, God is spirit and He wants us to worship Him in spirit and in truth. So what does the spirit and truth mean? First of all, we need to allow our spirits. It says spirit and then it says truth. We need to allow our spirits to connect with God. And this is, once again, if we're trying to figure it out in our minds, we won't be able to because it's a spiritual thing. It's a supernatural thing. So we need to allow our spirits to connect with God. And then guess what? His truth starts to speak to us. His truth starts to manifest in our lives. And then we worship Him in spirit and in truth. And we start to embrace His truth and start to fulfill His truth in our lives. But you see, it's got to be a truthful connection. I mean, a spiritual connection. And then not only spiritual, but also truthful. So what does this mean practically? Let's take an example. You come to God, and some people say, yeah, I must just be real before God. And that's true. That's 100% true. You must be real. So if you're feeling a bit down, you come to church, and you want to be real with God now. You must be real with God. You say to God, Lord, I'm feeling negative. I'm feeling depressed right now. I had a bad week, Lord. But you see, if you walk out of this building, or not out of this building necessarily, but if you walk out of that place of worship, that place of meeting God, not only in a church service, wherever you worship God, if you walk out of that place of intimacy with God, and you still have those negative feelings and that depression, then you haven't allowed the truth of God to change you. Okay? I know it's a bit of a harsh one here, but what I'm trying to say is, you must allow the truth of God to change you. And if you're not changed, you just go back and you worship God, and you just say, Lord, I'm not going to let you go until you bless me, Lord, until this thing is lifted. And whatever I must do, Lord, I'll do it. But you see, we must allow God's truth to change us. So there's this thing about being real before God, okay? But we mustn't walk out of here and we're the same person, because then it's not allowing God's truth to change us. Okay, it's a bit of a challenging one sometimes, but I trust it will challenge your mindset. Because sometimes we come to worship God and we just worship Him because it's the thing to do. But we haven't connected with Him and allowed Him to speak into our lives and to lift that depression, to lift that negativity. And sometimes it might, I'm not saying it will always come straight away. It's like healing, physical healing. It doesn't always just happen immediately. But still, the truth of God must remain the truth. And whether you're healed or whether you're not, it's still depressed or not, that's not the point. The point is there's still a truth. And God's truth says that He sets us free. In His presence is fullness of joy. I can go on and quote all the scriptures, but we must still allow the truth to change us. Are you with me this evening? Are you excited to really tap into the presence of God? You see, so true worship happens, first of all, on a spiritual connection. And then the God's truth starts to change our lives. I'm excited about this because if we start to get this right, we'll never be the same when we leave God's presence. But why are we always the same when we're feeling so down or sick or whatever and we leave God's presence and we're the same? For me, it's frustrating. But when God's presence comes to change you and you really connect with Him on a level that you don't understand, then you'll walk out of here never the same again. Isn't that amazing? And that's what this thing of worshiping in spirit and truth means. In terms of what Jesus says, yeah. So saying to this woman, listen, yeah, it's not about your feelings. It's not about how awesome the place of worship is that you've made for yourself. It's not about the rituals that you do every Sunday or whenever you get together. And it's not either about feelings. So worship, to sum up, is not about a place. Worship is not about rituals. Worship is not about feelings. What is worship truly about? Verse 25. The woman said to him, and yeah, we can just see clearly that this woman didn't have a clue really as to what Jesus was saying. Well, she had sort of an idea, but she says, I know that the Messiah is coming. He's called Christ. I know He's coming and, you know, when He comes, He will tell us all things. She was like saying to Him, listen, you're a great prophet. You spoke into my life and it's awesome, but you know what? My life is just going to carry on because, you know, one day I'm expecting that this Messiah will come and guess what? He'll change my life. He'll tell me everything and we'll all be changed and we'll all go to heaven and life will be great. So she says this to him really in a sincere way. She says, I'm expecting that the Messiah is going to come to settle everything. I mean, what do you know, prophet? You're great and everything, but I'm still expecting the Messiah. So she's really sincere here. And then Jesus, all He needed to say to her was the following. I, who speak to you, am He. Isn't that amazing? And in an instant, this woman's life is changed. In a twinkle of an eye, as He says these words, this woman's, it's like this light goes on. Ding. Bing. This light goes on and that's where the story ends. Then it just says, oh, the disciples came back and you can read the rest of the verse yourself, the rest of the story. And the woman goes out into her city and tells the people, listen here, could this be the Christ? I've met someone who has told me all things. And this is what Jesus meant when He said to her, the hour has now come. This is the moment of change in your life. This is the moment when it's not about the mountain. It's not about Jerusalem anymore. Why? Because I am the Messiah. I have come to fulfill all things. And what is He telling us today? What is this word telling us? Worship in spirit and in truth is all about a revelation of who Jesus is. That is true worship. True worship will bring about a true change in our lives. That's the simple truth tonight. It's not too difficult. It's a revelation of who Jesus is. And yeah, in John 4 verse 42, just to sum it all up, this woman goes and speaks to the people of Samaria and just tells them, yes, this is the Messiah. You must come and meet Him. And Jesus goes to the city and they just absolutely in awe because they have seen the Messiah. They have met the Messiah. And He needed to go and He said, listen, I can't stay for longer. I've got to move on. And they said, please stay, Jesus. And it says here in verse 42, then they said to the woman, now we believe, not because of what you said, for we ourselves have heard Him. And we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. We ourselves have seen Him. And you see, someone can tell you the gospel, someone can tell you the good news. Just like this woman was a great evangelist, spreading the gospel to a whole city. But these people said, it's not because of what you said. Because it's a revelation. We have seen for ourselves. That's what the word revelation is. There it explains it. It's when we have heard Him and we know that this is indeed the Christ. And that's why when I received Jesus for the first time, it wasn't someone told me, and it was great that that person told me, but it was a revelation in my own life that this is Jesus. He's my Savior. I can't just carry on with my life. I need a change. I need a revelation of who He is, and then I started to worship Him. And you get to know Him as you walk with the Lord. It's just an amazing path that when you journey with Jesus, you start to see Him for who He really is. Not just your Savior and your healer, but He's the Master. He's the Lord of all, and He's coming again. And the Bible is full of a revelation. That's why the last book is called Revelation of Jesus. But the whole book is a revelation of Jesus from Genesis. Because it says in the beginning, Jesus was there. The end, Jesus will be there again. Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever, as Hebrews says. The whole Bible. And I'm busy doing a study of the Old Testament. And at times it gets like you do all these, you know, how to interpret the Old Testament and the methods they use to interpret and how what writers are saying these days about it. And it gets so technical for me sometimes. I just want to go out there and preach the gospel and not, you know, but it's good for me to also learn that there's a lot out there. But you see, it's all about this amazing book that has caused so much controversy over the years, so much, you know, disagreement, so many arguments, so much negativity where people don't agree with it and think it's so fundamental and all this, but yet the Scripture has stayed the same. The Scripture has been preserved, and that's what I'm learning. The incredible thing is some people will not believe the Scriptures because all this theory about it, how can it still be true? If you really want to analyze it in certain mindsets, you'll come up with any argument to say the Bible's not true. If you really don't believe it, you'll argue it and you'll convince people it's not true. But the fact is it's been preserved throughout. And it's still a book of the revelation today of who Jesus is. Isn't that amazing? And that's why we have this amazing Word of God. It's all about revealing to us, sinful people, who Jesus, the Savior of the world, is, just like these people understood. And that is the bottom line tonight. That is what worship truly is. That is the revelation in our lives that will bring about change. And guess what? It will still bring about change. As we have Jesus reveal Himself more to us, it will change our lives over and over and over again until one day we made perfect. So let's all stand this evening as the band comes up. I just want to conclude by saying a few things. Mankind has been created to worship. Mankind has been created to worship. Let's all stand this evening. Mankind has been created to worship. Everyone will worship or idolize someone or something. And you can just look at your own life and see who have you worshipped before you knew God. And maybe even while you know God, we tend to worship things. We tend to worship things very easily. But true worship comes from a revelation of the one who is worship. That is true worship. A revelation of the one who is worship. So I want to say this evening is how you worship depends on your relationship with the God that you're worshiping. That is simple, and it sounds like, duh, it's a bit obvious. But sometimes we need to say the obvious things because we get caught up in so much stuff. I want to say it again. How you worship depends on your relationship with the God that you're worshiping. So back to my first few questions again. What comes to mind when I mention the word worship? Not only me, but whenever the word worship is mentioned, what comes to mind? And would you say that you're a worshiper, and why? And is there such a thing as false worship, and for that matter, true worship? It's all up to us. The revelation is, yeah, but we have to still decide. Let's all close our eyes this evening. Father, we just thank You tonight that Your Word is so powerful. Your Word is so eternal, Lord. Your Word is living and powerful, God. It's enough to change us. And so we thank You tonight, Lord, for just Your Word, yeah, in John chapter 4, Lord. The Word that You gave to the Samaritan woman that was so desperately in need of change in her life, Lord. Where her life was a mess. So many things out of order, Lord. So many questions unanswered. But Lord, You came and revealed Yourself to her in a very special and amazing way. And Lord, I thank You tonight also, Lord, for Your revelation right here. In Your presence, God. For the revelation of who You are right here, right now, Lord. I thank You that this Word is the same, God, for us today. You are still the one revealing yourself to people, Lord. And we just want to thank you for that tonight. We thank you, Jesus, that it's not about a service, Lord. It's not about church. It's not about an event. It's about you personally wanting to connect with us. And tonight, Lord, we thank you for this opportunity. Thank you that we've been drawn to this place, Lord. Every one of us have been drawn here very specifically, Lord. Not just by chance. But Lord, you've got an appointment with us. Just like you had to go through Samaria to have an appointment with this woman. You have come to this church here in Bloemfontein to meet with us very specially tonight. And we thank you for that, Lord. I want to give an opportunity just for two groups of people this evening, because it's so important that we respond. Just like this woman had to respond to what Jesus revealed to her. She was in awe. Her life changed. She couldn't but speak about this amazing man that told her all things. And tonight, I believe Jesus has got an appointment with each and every one of us tonight. But the first group of people is maybe tonight, for the very first time, you have heard about this Jesus who loves you so much and who wants into your life as well, just like he wanted into this woman's life. Maybe you thought worship was all about events and all about church services and lifting up your hands or jumping up and down, and that's all great and it's important. But tonight you realized that this is what worship is about, is when you meet your Maker and when you start to get to know the Savior of the world, like these people of Samaria realized. But it's important that you need to know that you've met him. And maybe tonight you're realizing that even right now as I'm speaking, or throughout the sermon you realize that you need to make right with Jesus. Then I want to give you an opportunity. It's the most exciting. This is why we have church. Is that people can respond to the goodness of God and to the love of Jesus tonight. So I want you to be very bold tonight. You need to be bold like that woman was, who just went out and talked about this Jesus, but it came from an encounter with him. It came from a change in her own life where she realized he was the Messiah. So you need to tonight, you just need to respond to Jesus' love tonight, and just to give your life to him, because you've had an encounter with him, but you just want to say, Lord, here's my life. I want to start to talk about you to other people. Maybe for the first time you're doing that tonight. Or you're experiencing this revelation of Jesus for the first time, then just stick up your hand. Be very bold. You know that Jesus has touched your life tonight and you've encountered him tonight for the very first time. I just want you to be very bold. Or maybe it's a different encounter tonight. Maybe you've encountered him before, you've heard about him, but tonight is an encounter that you want to remember. Then I just want you to stick up your hand. Just be very bold and say, that's me, Alistair. I want you to pray for me, because I don't know the next step. Because maybe you've had an encounter tonight, but you don't know the next step. And we would like to pray with you this evening. We'd like to just show you that there's more than just meeting Jesus. There's growing with Jesus. Anyone like that tonight? You want to give your life to the Lord? Or you just want to recognize what he's done in your life? Tonight, anyone? Just be bold to stick up your hand. Don't be shy. If there's a tugging in your heart tonight, you know Jesus is speaking to you and he just wants you to respond to him. And then the second group of people. And if you're too shy, come afterwards. If you're too shy to stick up your hand right now, please, if Jesus has touched your life tonight, don't leave here without just praying about it. But there's a second group of people that I want to ask tonight, that you just respond to what Jesus is doing in your life. You need to come back to the heart of true worship, because you've made worship, just like that song many times, about a song. You've made it about a ritual. You've made it about a place. You've made it about everything else but the heart of Jesus tonight. Then I want you to really be bold as well and to stick up your hand and say, Lord, I want to come back to the revelation of who Jesus is in my life. Not in everybody else's life, not in Shofar Bloemfontein or other churches around you. It's about your life, you and your relationship with Jesus. So anyone else, thank you for those hands. Anyone else, just be honest tonight. Jesus is showing you, you just need to come back to that heart of worship tonight. Just be really honest with the Lord tonight. Just stick up your hand. Their hand's going up. Anyone else would like to just respond to the heart of the true heart of... You know that you need to come back to the heart of worship, because worship for you is about a thing. And sometimes it's a struggle in your life. It's a struggle to worship because it's about this thing. But Jesus says, just, I want to reveal myself to you. I want to show you who I am. And that's going to bring about a change. And then worship is going to become a lifestyle for you. It's not going to become about a Sunday thing. Anyone else? Last opportunity. I want to ask you to be very bold this evening. If you've raised your hand, we would like to just pray for you. So I would like a couple of cell facilitators and zone coaches to just come forward. Those people you know, and then just respond. Those who respond to Jesus tonight. You want to come back to the true heart of worship this evening. Then just respond to the Lord's goodness tonight. It's you responding to Him. Don't be shy tonight. Come forward. All those who raised their hands, and even if you didn't raise your hand, maybe you're part of the first group. You just need to give your life to the Lord again, and you're just ashamed to walk out here on your own. Please don't be ashamed. Now's your opportunity. Just respond to the goodness of God this evening. Bless you guys. Bless you guys. Can I just have some more facilitators just to come and pray for these special people? As I believe tonight, you guys have stepped out in an amazing... God is going to make you a worshiper, not because of what you do or because of a Sunday service or how many times you jump or clap your hands. It's responding to the heart of God this evening. And God is going to reveal Himself to you. So we're just going to pray together with all these people. Let's just stretch out our hands. And you guys are just going to make a commitment. You're going to say, Lord, I'm sorry for what I've made it. I'm sorry for making worship a thing or a thing that the band does. And I just follow the band. I want to, Lord, worship You in spirit and in truth. And I want to get to the heart of worship. And experience Jesus revealing Himself to me. So that's all you're going to do tonight. So let's all pray. You guys pray as sincerely as possible from your hearts. Father God, tonight I turn away from making worship an event, a ritual, a place, or anything else but You, Jesus. And so I thank You, Jesus, right now that You reveal Yourself to me. Even as I respond to You tonight. And I thank You, Lord, that I can be excited about revelation upon revelation of who You are in my life. So I give You my life afresh again, Jesus. And I thank You, Lord, that like that woman, I can experience a change in my life starting from tonight. Thank You that I'll never be the same again. In Jesus' name. Amen. Lord, I thank You that You've set every one of these people free of condemnation right now, of guilt, Lord, of any feelings of inferiority because they have missed You, Lord. But I thank You for their honesty tonight. And I thank You that You're going to minister to them in amazing ways, Lord. In Jesus' name. And I thank You for freedom. And I thank You that they will be like the woman, testifying to cities, God, of Your goodness. Testifying to nations of Your goodness, Lord. Because You're awesome tonight. In Jesus' name.